Okay. Well, in any event, if I've got somebody now, let's just go through some deal structuring exercises, and I'm just going to come right out and just tell you exactly what I would do in these. But I want you to think ahead. Think of what you would do with these transactions and see if it's similar to the way that I would put them together. If I had a deal that I picked up, my after repair value was $200,000 and my purchase price was $90,000 and the house needed $35,000 in repairs, the questions that I would have for you is I would ask, you know, what would you sell the house for and how would you structure this deal? Going back, you need to be familiar with the formula that I use to purchase houses and the formula that I recommend other people do in order to be profitable. The formula that you should be using is ARV, or after repair value, times 70% less repairs equals the offer. In this particular case, if it's an ARV of $200,000, and I apply it to that formula to it, I'm doing ARV times 70% is $140,000, less repairs of $35,000 is $105,000. Now, that's the amount, that's the most I can pay for this property. Now, I've done better than that. I've bought it for $90,000, so there's room in there for me to make money on this property by wholesaling it to another investor. In fact, I can make $15,000 on this house by wholesaling it to another investor. So my sale price would be $105,000. That's what I would sell this for. Now, the way that I would structure this deal, going back to my buyer has a 750 credit score. They have $100,000 cash on hand. They make $150,000 a year, but this is their first deal. They don't really have experience. Irregardless of this being their first deal and not having experience, the fact that they have a very high credit score, they have a lot of cash in the bank, and they have great income, they're an ideal borrower. The bank is going to love this person. Now, the way that I'm going to structure this deal, because of the cash that the person has, because of the income that they have, I'm not going to do anything to help them with their down payment. They don't need it. I'm going to have them bring their 20% down to the table. I'm going to bring them to the small local bank to get them their loan and get them their rehab money, and we're going to get the deal done. This is a simple, easy transaction, and my buyer makes this easy for me because they're top-notch. Now, not everybody is going to be that way. So let's look at the next scenario where I have the exact same deal, $200,000 ARV, have a purchase price of $90,000, and I have ARV $35,000. That should be repairs $35,000. Again, great credit score. They have income of $100,000 a year, but this person doesn't have any cash. They can't put any money down. I would handle this one a little bit differently because the person can't get the deal done without having some form of down payment. So in this particular case, I'm selling it to them for $105,000. They need 20% of that, which is $21,250. They also don't have any cash, so I'm going to try to get them their closing costs as well as their down payment from somebody. I can either up the price to $110,000 and include their closing costs in there, or I could sell it for $105,000 and find somebody who will lend them the closing costs. I've got the option to go either way, and that's going to be dependent upon the person who I can find to lend them their down payment money. Am I making sense, JP?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So now I'm going to get my buyer to sign the contract. I'm going to take them to the small local bank, and then I'm going to go out and find a private lender to lend them their down payment money. And they're going to get 100% financing. They're going to get all of their rehab money put into an escrow account to do their rehab with, and I'm going to walk away with my $15,000 profit at settlement. So I would sell it for the same amount, and I might even lend them the money, but I don't always do that. And not all of you are in a position to do it. So you want to focus on combining the financing, bringing the private lenders into the transaction. Okay, now let's say that we have a different scenario here. Now, it's again, the exact same house, $200,000 ARV, $90,000 purchase price, repairs of $35,000. I have a buyer whose credit score is 550. They have $15,000 cash. Their income is unknown, but they are a seasoned rehabber. In this particular case, I could maybe take them to the small local bank, and the small local bank isn't going to be too concerned about their poor credit. Instead, they're going to look at the experience that they have and say, okay, this is an experienced investor. We're willing to work with them, and I would go get them a private loan from somebody else for their down payment. The other option here is that this being a seasoned rehabber, they probably have relationships who are not opposed to using hard money lenders, and I might just take them to a hard money lender who will give them 100% of their financing. So the key is in this transaction is that I know where to take them for the money. If the small local bank isn't going to work out, I will take them to a hard money lender to get the deal to happen. I want everybody to understand one thing here is that whenever I'm selling houses, I always want the buyers to use my lenders because I know exactly what my lenders will do. I know that my lenders will participate in these transactions. I know how much they'll lend. My lenders are not a coin toss. I'm not just, you know, taking a chance and hoping that these deals are going to happen. That's what happens when your buyers are using lenders that you're not familiar with. You're allowing them to go out, and those deals will fall apart more often than not for various reasons. Sometimes those reasons are going to be seasoning. Sometimes it's going to be the wrong type of deal for the wrong lender. So I always make sure that my buyers use my lenders. So it's extremely important that you get out there and you find the right lenders to do these transactions. Okay, let's take a situation here. We've got a house or a property with a $200,000 fair market value. You're purchasing it for $140,000. It's rented for $2,700 per month, and the repairs that it needs are nothing. It's got great cash flow coming in. You got a great purchase price of $140,000 on it. Now you're going to sell it to an investor who has great credit. They own four rental properties. They only have $5,000 in cash, and they make $50,000 a year. Now, whenever I ask people what they would sell this type of property for, most of them are immediately thinking, well, the bank will lend 80%, so I need to sell it for 160, or they're coming up with different scenarios, but they're discounting it. In this particular case, I would sell it for the full $200,000.
Yep.
Because it's well worth it, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to take back a $40,000 second mortgage, 20%. I'm taking back $40,000 of my profit as a note. I'm going to have my buyer go to the bank to get $160,000. So the difference between that $160,000 and the $140,000 I'm purchasing it for, that $20,000 is coming to me. So I'm walking away with a $20,000 cash profit and a $40,000 second mortgage. Now, there are other... Go ahead.
Are we assuming this is a single-family home?
A single-family or multi-unit.
The fact that they own four, the buyer owns four rentals playing into this exercise at all?
Yes and no. For any buyer with that kind of cash flow, if it is considered an income property, the banks are going to be comfortable with this property. So whether this was an inexperienced investor or a seasoned landlord, the bank would be comfortable with it because the cash flow is there.
Okay.
So, but what I want people to understand is that I'm walking away with a profit in cash and a note. Now, I want to be really careful as I say this because I'm very particular when people go through examples like this. I'm being very generic with the example for the purposes of getting my point across, but there are other costs associated with doing the deal. I don't make a full $60,000 on this. I'll end up having to absorb some closing costs. I might have to lend my buyer some closing costs if they don't have it. And there's just other transactional costs, so my profit might not be that full $60,000, but I'm just speaking in generalities right now to make the example for the deal structuring. So now here's a situation where wholesaling huge properties, where knowing how to structure the deals makes it easy. Toward the beginning of the call, I had shared with you an example of a deal that Jerry was working. Now, this example that I have up here about million-dollar properties, I'm going to use Jerry's example instead of what I have here. But most people would be scared to wholesale million-dollar properties, and most investors do not buy million-dollar properties because of the amount of cash that's necessary to make those deals happen. If it were easy to buy million-dollar properties, people would buy them all day long. So your job as the investor is to make it easy for people to buy these properties. Now, at the beginning of the call, I had told you I would share with you how Jerry had a property that he had tied up for $375,000. He wanted to sell it for $400,000, and he couldn't get anybody to buy it from him. His challenge was that he had many people who wanted to buy it. The numbers worked beautifully, but nobody was structuring it properly. All the buyers who wanted to buy this from him, this was treated like a commercial property because it was a multi-unit. They needed $100,000 down plus their closing costs to make this deal happen. You got to figure they probably had to have somewhere in the neighborhood of $115,000 to $120,000 to make this deal happen. Now, JP, if I came to you with this deal, no matter how good the deal looked, would you be able to pull that deal off? Don't know if I lost you.
I'm sorry. I had my phone on mute for a second.
Okay.
I apologize. Embarrassingly can't answer your question because I was checking our line stats. for a moment.
If I were to present you a deal, a multi-unit deal, for $400,000 that made tremendous sense, very profitable deal, and but you had to come to the table with $100,000 to $115,000, would you be able to buy that deal?
I would have to find that $100,000 right now. I cannot pull that out of my wallet, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, and most people can't.
Yeah.
And this is what Jerry was hoping would happen with that deal. He wanted somebody to come along who had $115,000, $120,000 in the bank to be able to make this happen. Now,
right.
In this day and time, the people who do have that kind of cash are typically not willing to part with it. They're being very tight-fisted. They don't want to part with that $120,000 right now. They want to see what's going to happen in this economy. Well, I told Jerry that it would be easier for him to sell that property for $500,000. Now, prior to me telling him that, I asked him, do the numbers work if you sell it for $500,000? And he says, oh, yeah, deal's great. But he's thinking what he needs to do to pull the deal off is lower the price, because he started out at $425,000. He couldn't get it sold, so he lowered it to $400,000. He couldn't get it sold. I said, Jerry, if you raise it to $500,000, you'll get it sold. The reason being is that $500,000, the 25% down payment, $125,000, would be Jerry's profit. Jerry could say, I will give you 100% financing at $500,000. He would take back a second mortgage for $125,000. His buyer would get $375,000 from the bank, which is enough to cover Jerry's purchase price. So now they're doing a combination of financing, $375,000 from the small local bank plus $125,000 second mortgage from Jerry. And at $500,000, and the number still makes sense, all of those people who expressed an interest in the property, many of those people would now step forth and buy that property from Jerry because he made it easy for them to buy.
Now, in your experience, would Jerry have to work very hard to connect those dots for most of those potential buyers, or would it be evident? Are buyers of that type of property typically sophisticated enough to recognize that deal structure when they see it?
Well, most of the buyers, when you can put the deal together like that for them like that, the buyers fall into place. Where the work is involved is establishing those relationships with the lenders up front, finding the local bank that will do this, who will allow you to take back the second mortgage, the local lender who doesn't care how much money you're making as long as the deal still makes sense, and establishing those relationships. When you, as the investor, are able to put those relationships together and put those pieces of the puzzle in place, it's not, there is no problem with finding the buyers. They're lining up to work with you. So trust me when I tell you that Jerry, if he would have approached that the right way and put it out there at $500,000, showing people how they could buy that property from him with no money out of their pocket, he would have had that property sold time and time again. And the people who did not get in on it would have said, Jerry, please call me the next time you get something like that. You want to make it easy for people to buy. Now, so when we're packaging the deals, you want to create the vision for your buyers. And you need to show them how the deal can be profitable. So what Jerry needs to do is create the vision and say, hey, guys, listen, this is what can happen with this deal. I can show you how you can get into this deal with no money down. I can show you how I can get you all of your rehab money, and I can show you how when this property is rehabbed, it's going to put $2,000-$3,000 a month in positive cash flow into your pocket. And when he sits there and he creates that vision for his buyers, he's engaged them. They're now ready to listen. They want to know, okay, tell me more. So now he needs to show them how the deal can be profitable. And he does that by demonstrating the numbers to them. Here's your purchase price. Here's what it's going to cost to fix. This is how much rent you're going to get per unit. After all of your expenses, this is how much you're going to have in the end. And then you show them how easy it is to pull these deals off if they work with you. So when I show people, I say, okay, here's the deal. If you purchase this property from me and you go to this lender, I'm going to be able to do this with 100% financing. If you go elsewhere, you try to buy somebody else's property, you're not going to get 100% financing. Here's why you're going to get 100% financing, because the bank is going to give you X, and I'm going to finance $125,000 of your down payment. And so in this case, Jerry's not walking away with a cash profit. He's walking away with a second mortgage for $125,000 that, depending upon his interest rate, is going to pay him handsomely for many years to come until they either refinance or sell.
Just out of curiosity, I know we're using current examples here. Where is? Do you know right now where Jerry is in this deal? Did he close it? Is he?
No. At the time when Jerry was presenting it to me and telling me that he had that problem, that he couldn't find somebody to buy it, he was like 2 days away from losing the deal, and he didn't have enough time to change gears.
Okay.
Now, I want to go back. This was a current example that Jerry could have pulled off had he done that.
Okay.
He had a lot of interested buyers who just did not either have the cash or want to put it up. I had a situation some years back with someone who had a property under contract for $800,000, and they were trying to sell it for $850,000. Again, a lot of people who were interested, but the buyer had to have, you know, $212,500 in down payment money to make that deal happen. I asked the person, I said, can you make the numbers work if you asked, I think it was $1.1 million for it. I said, if you asked $1.1 million, does this property still cash flow? It was a 20-unit building. And she says, oh, yeah, I got a great deal on it. Still cash flows at $1.1 million. Well, I told her to raise her price to $1.1 million and go back and ask the interested parties if they would give her $1.1 million for it, if they could get in with no money down, and she did get a buyer on it. And instead, what she did was she took back a $250,000 second mortgage, $275,000 second mortgage, which was 25% of the $1.1 million. They got an $825,000 loan from the bank. $800 went to pay the original seller, $25 was used for closing costs, and she walked away with a $275,000 second mortgage on the property.
Yeah. That's all. I love that story. And, you know, and some people look at that and go, but it's a second mortgage. What if you never get paid? What if you get wiped out after the foreclosure? Who cares? You got your deal done, and you made money on the front end. You know,
yeah,
it's not that doesn't matter, but that's gravy.
At $850, the deal wasn't going to happen.
Right, exactly.
It wasn't. Exactly. She couldn't get it to happen. So, so this is one of the keys. She made it easy for the person to get into the deal, so they bought it.
And it's almost like just by looking at the transaction through new eyes, you know, just changing your perspective a little bit, almost like if you can have a list of creative approaches like this that you can run down with each deal to just open your eyes and expand your horizons a little bit, you're almost creating money where there wasn't any. You know,
that's exactly what you're doing, and it all comes
like
down to your all comes down to your understanding of how the lenders' programs work.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
So, you know, JP, I had a few examples of packaging deals, but I think I just went through a couple that maybe we won't go through the packaging of the deals. You know, I had to sell the apartment building that needs work for $500,000. That, you know, it's easier than the $400,000, and then I had the other example. But I'm just going to go into the players that you're going to be dealing with when structuring a deal.
Okay, real quick, just so people have the blanks, up top, vision. Create the vision for your buyers, and the fourth bullet point, understand that your buyers will pay a little more for great terms. I just want to make sure people got that.
Okay. So the players that are involved in structuring a deal, you got your seller, you have your buyer, you may have a broker in there, you've got lenders, and then you've got some other players. What you have to do, the key to successful deal structuring is understanding the needs of all of the players. You also have to understand the motivations of all of the players, and then your goal is to meet the needs of all of those players as best as you can. So, again, it all comes down to understanding, you know, the needs of the seller, some different needs that sellers are going to have. Some sellers are going to want to know that it's going to be getting out of from underneath their mortgage, or it's going to be needing to sell quickly, or you just have to get to the bottom of it, talking to the seller, find out what their needs are, and be able to meet them with your transaction. You know, people talk about win-win transactions. The first thing you do have to always do is make sure that you can win. Once you know that, okay, I can win, you now have to focus on meeting the needs of the other party. I see a lot of times people take win-win to a fault, and they think win-win was coming to an agreement. Well, you have to make sure that it's a profitable agreement for you. The needs of the buyer, I'm telling you, most investors out there, their needs are getting in with as little money as possible. If you're an investor who knows how to structure deals properly and create low-down to no-down deals for other investors, you will become one of the most popular people in town. They will love you, and they will keep coming back. The needs of the broker, obviously, whether it's a mortgage broker or a real estate broker, they're going to want a commission. They want to see deals happen, knowing that they need for a deal to happen in order for them to get paid. You can use that to your advantage. You can get them working for you, helping you to be creative, helping. They'll help you to talk the other parties into doing things that you need to do. But also keep in mind that if they've got a nice commission coming to them and you need some more money brought to the table, they might be able to give up some of their commission, or they can finance some of their commission. If you're going to finance some of your profit, ask them to finance some of their profit if you find yourself in a position where you have to get that done. They don't like that too much, so that's not something you want to do too often. But just keep that in mind. You're there to meet their needs also. One of their needs is to get transactions closed so that they can get paid. And then the needs of the lender. You want to understand their tolerances, understand their comfort levels, understand what types of transactions they want to do, and bring the right transactions to them. Make sure you're bringing numbers that suit their needs, deals that suit their needs, buyers that suit their needs. Once you have this understanding, it's just a matter of going out there, finding the right puzzle pieces, and saying, here you go. And they're very appreciative and thankful, and they'll put those deals together for you. So understand their needs and make it happen. And then the other people are in the transactions, you know, just make sure, whether it's the title company, whoever it is, just make sure you understand all of them, what it is they're looking for, and help them meet their needs. Now, I think I'm just going to wrap it up here with, you know, making it easy. You want to make it easy for people. When you make deals easy for all the parties, everything falls right into place. Meet the seller's needs, meet the buyer's needs, brokers, lenders, meet all of their needs, and then your deals will fall into place. Once you start doing this, all of your deals will get easy. The problem is that many people out there are lazy. They don't want to take the steps. They don't want to figure out how to do these deals. They don't want to find out where the lenders are. They're scared to talk to lenders. If you want to be in this position where deals are easy, you've got to take these steps. You get out there and you find out who the players are, understand the players, and then be able to put the investor together with the lenders, and everything else will start to fall into place for you. So you can hold the keys to all of your transactions by making it easy on all parties involved. It's not hard. It's just someone has to take the time to do it. And if that's you, you'll profit handsomely from it. That's about it, JP. Just wrapping up, and I apologize for keeping everybody so much later.
Well, you know, I think they're glad you did, because we still have 251 people on the webcast and the phone right now, and we wouldn't have 251 people on the line right now if you hadn't been delivering the goods. So I know for a fact this was a solid, solid investment of time. Guys, let me just I'm going to unmute the lines and get your opinion. Are you glad that you hung on with this? Was this session good, and did you learn something?
Yes.
Thank you.
The
best.
Hell yeah.
Anybody else? I heard that was a resounding yes.
This was the best.
That was
good stuff.
Fantastic. Good. A little social proof there. All right. Here's the deal. You guys know this is one of two sessions that Steve and Sean are doing in advance of a joint venture event that they're going to be doing together. You can see it right there if you're following the cheat sheet. It's called REI 2009, What's Working Now. I have been friends with these two guys for years now, good friends of mine. I've attended both of their events, and I can tell you these two guys have a passion for teaching, and they're real-world investors. They're out there doing it. You know, I'm preaching to the choir here, because if you're on this line, you're either a subscriber of REI Tips or Short Sell Wealth or Flipping Homes, so you're familiar with them enough by now. I don't need to sing their praises to convince you of that. But I do want to ask you, Steve, if you would, to just give us a quick idea of why you're doing this event and how it's different from other events you've done, because I think it's really important for right now for this market. This market is totally different than anything most of us have ever seen, and frankly, it's kicking a lot of people's butt, and then there's a lot of people who are really extracting a lot of cash out of this market. So can you just paint the picture of what this event is, how it's different, and maybe who it's ideal for in a nutshell?
Well, I'm going to first just take a step back and let everybody know that I did a number of coaching calls today. One of the coaching calls that I did today was for my FlipVips group. For those of you who don't know who my FlipVips are, that's my sort of elite group of students that I've really just taken under my wing and have been working with now for quite some time. Sean happens to be one of my FlipVips, and just, you know, dear friend and just a fantastic investor. But the whole point that I want to make about that is this group of people, when we had our call today, typically one of the things that we'll talk about is what are our challenges, what are we experiencing, how are things going today. And it is so refreshing for me to get on the phone with these guys, because they are all knocking them dead right now. Nobody is complaining. It is just so upbeat, and everybody is doing great. Everybody is kicking butt in this market, and they're doing wonderful. Well, as a result of that, between the other students I coach and them, we're very, very up to date on what's working and what's not. So Sean and I were talking about doing this event. First of all, he and I never actually did a joint event together, and that was just something that we've had a desire to do. So we said, why don't we go ahead and let's do this event together? It would be really hard for me to do my four-day Flipping Homes boot camp and Sean to do his four-day short sale boot camp, and you know, we've got 8 days of material between the two of us. We couldn't do that, and people couldn't make that much time to come on out. So we said, let's focus on the most important things that people need to know in this market today. What is it that is separating the people who are doing well from those who are not doing? And Sean and I decided that we were each going to pick four topics that are extremely important for making money in today's market. And he's going to do four, I'm going to do four, and we're going to go deep. Just like this, what I did today, I'm going to talk about four other topics at the boot camp and just go really deep. We're not going to go over the beginning to end of exactly how to do a deal. Instead, we're going to go really deep into the areas that people need to know the most about right now, today. So Sean's doing four topics, I'm doing four topics, and we're sharing with everybody what we're seeing from our own experiences and from the experiences of those that we work closely with and that we're coaching.
I'm going to just share what I really, really like about this. And before I do, if you guys want to check it out and just size it up and see what you think, maybe it's a good fit for you right now in your real estate endeavors, you can go, I've set up a redirect link. You can go to reitips.com/REI2009. Okay, again, reitips.com/REI2009. And you can see there's just a description of the event there. And actually, I would encourage you to go there because you can see we're really not going to belabor this tonight because it's late and everybody needs to get to the kids or whatever. But you can see the four topics that Steve's going to be teaching and the four topics that Sean's going to be teaching. And one of the things I really like about this, if you have ever heard me on a call, you've probably heard me use this phrase before, is that you guys are not going to be skimming the surface of these things. You're going to be going an inch wide and a mile deep on each of these topics, just really extracting as much as possible out of each of those topics. And each of those topics are bleeding edge current for today's market. Now, some people are going to look at that, and we talked about this, you know, some people are going to go, well, that's great, you know, and some of them maybe look kind of advanced, and I like that, but I'm still just trying to get my real estate investing business started. I feel like I need a foundation under me. And you guys have both done a lot of events in the past that have been kind of the whole, you know, here's a flipping homes business from start to finish kind of event. That's not this event, but we want to be sure for anyone who wants to participate in this and also feels like you need that foundation underneath you, you guys have graciously decided as one of the bonuses to give away basically all your home study courses. Sean's got his big $2,000 Short Sale Wealth Academy. That's included. You're doing, you know, basically everything, including the kitchen sink, and you guys can see it all listed there. I think that's fantastic because that makes an event like this worthwhile for a beginner or an intermediate to advanced investor. So, that's one of the things I really like about it. I wanted to illuminate that. I didn't lose you there, did I, Steve?
No, I'm here.
Okay. Look there at the bottom there. You can see there's two different dates, two different locations, Baltimore, St. Louis. Why did you guys do two different locations? Just elaborate on that for a moment.
Well, one, we wanted to just make it more accessible to people. Historically, in the past, I would do one boot camp a year, and what we found was there's just a lot of people, for some reason or another, can't make it to that particular event, and we decided that we're just going to go ahead and do two of them. So that way, if somebody can't come to one event, they'll come to the other, and more importantly, geographically, we're trying to spread the events out and give people an opportunity to not have to travel as far.
But both of you are teaching at both events, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, when you see that page, one of the other things that you're likely to notice is among the bonuses, you can bring a spouse at no additional charge. There's all those courses, but there's also another two-day event, a Life and Heir event, which is a word some people may or may not be familiar with here. Could you just briefly describe what that is and why you're including another two-day event on this two-day event? So, I mean, it's optional, but that's a four-day event, really, is what you're giving out here.
Yes. Well, I'll just tell you right now, Life and Heir is the thing that I am most passionate about. In fact, that is the number one reason that Sean and I are beginning to work together, because he's going to start teaching Life and Heir with me. He's one of my Life and Heir students, and one of my most successful Life and Heir students. Life and Heir, if you guys are never heard the term before, just think of millionaire. Millionaire is somebody who's basically full of money. A Life and Heir is somebody who's full of life. I've taught many people how to make a lot of money in real estate, and I've seen a lot of people just sort of ruin their lives or miserable in their real estate investing endeavors because they don't know why they're doing it. They don't have a purpose to their life. And Life and Heir is all about helping people to discover what it is that they really want to use out of life and then using their business to help them achieve that. So we're trying to get that balance in place, you know, coming up with a vision for your life and then and then going ahead and creating the business to help you live that life. Most of us do it the other way around. We build the business, we're successful in business, and then we're like, okay, now what do? I'm so busy with my business, I don't even have time to live. And this has been turning the world of people upside down. Every event that I have done, every event that Sean has done regarding Life in Air has just been a life-changing experience for everybody. So we're throwing that in, putting that on the back end of this real estate event.
And I just want to say as a personal testimonial for anyone who does go to the real estate event, if at all possible, please stay for the Life in Air event afterwards, because it is truly, not a single person who has attended that event does not leave with a complete paradigm shift and their eyes just open to things they didn't even know they needed to open their eyes to. It's not just a big rah-rah session. It's really game-changing stuff, and it's an accelerant for your business and for your life. I mean, it's not just about business. It's about really getting, extracting out of life what you've really been trying to get all this time. So I really want to encourage you to be sure and be a part of that if you're a part of the real estate event. So just to wrap up, guys, reitips.com/REI2009. If this is just something we decided to do literally within about the last 2 hours before tonight's call, I just ran it by Steve, and Steve, you and Sean both said you felt like it was a good idea. For anyone who's on the call tonight, if you decide that you want to be a part of that event and you'd like to come and invest the time to be there, the code you see at the bottom of your cheat sheet there, which is COOKDEAL, COOKDEAL, for 10 people, and it is limited to 10 automatically, is a $497 discount. So you'll see on the page there, the tuition for the entire event is $1,497, which is much cheaper already than most full-blown boot camps, I can tell you right now. Most people charge $3,000 to $5,000 for something like this. But if for the 10 people, you can get $997, basically $497 off. But it's just limited to 10. And that's just something we wanted to do as a way of saying thank you for hanging out on the call with us tonight. And, you know, if it's a good fit for you, go ahead and take advantage of it. That coupon code would be something you would enter as your tuition is processed there. Steve, any final thoughts, final remarks?
I'm just glad that everybody hung in there with me, and I'm even more thankful that I didn't sneeze more often than I did.
Yeah, no sneezing fits. Yeah, I didn't have to do any special song and dance. So, good job. All right, guys, I'm going to unmute the lines and say goodnight. Thank you for investing your time with us tonight.
Good night from Baltimore.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.